Blog Talk Radio.
Dear saints of God, good morning and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. Well, my brothers and sisters, I am in studio today to talk about Jensen Franklin's new crappy book and also to talk about Jonathan Cain's new crappy song. That's right. It seems like Jensen Franklin and Jonathan Cain have joined forces to promote Jensen Franklin's new asinine, and I do emphasize asinine, book called Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds. Listen, if you don't know who Jonathan Cain is, he is a Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member from the band Journey. I guess he's the keyboardist from the band Journey. But he happens to be Paula White's third husband. That's right, the Paula White who is the spiritual advisor of President Donald John Trump. Now, Jonathan Cain is hooked up with Paula, in love with Paula, mesmerized by Paula, bewitched by Paula. You name it, Paula White Cain has done it to this guy named Jonathan Cain. Whenever this guy goes on tour, because his band, Journey, goes on tour every year, but Paula White calls it tour. When John goes on tour, I have to be there with him. She's like an octopus. I mean, she's like the sneaky squid spirit all over this guy. Her husband, Jonathan Cain. The guy can't breathe. The guy can't go on tour by himself because Paula White has to be all over him, like an octopus, like a sneaky squid spirit. That's right. So Jonathan Cain is now making the rounds as Paula White makes the rounds because she's had a resurgence in her so-called ministry as a result of, you know, peddling her influence, because that's what she's doing. It's called influence peddling. Now that she's tight with Trump, now people who never called Paula White before, now people who never gave Paula White the time of day, no, listen, people who never gave that scarecrow out of Apopka a look are now calling upon her to come to their churches. That's right, I said it. Paula White is a scarecrow. A scarecrow. Have you ever seen Paula White when she's in scarecrow mode with her Peter Pan pants on? When she's not wearing her fanny pad, you know, there are pictures out there. There are videos out there when Paula White is wearing fanny pads because she preaches in black, in a black church, in black churches. And, you know, she wants to feel like she's a member of the crowd. So she puts on these fanny pads that make her tuchus look like a sofa, like a Castro convertible sofa. She's got a big tuchus in some pictures, in some videos. Her behind is sticking way out there. Well, that's because she buys these elephant-sized fanny pads, and she puts them on her stick legs, and she walks around the stage, and you're saying, what? And then there's other videos. Like, she can show up to church the next day and be two sticks, be two toothpicks. And you say, but what happened? Did somebody put a pin in her behind? Because what happened to the big tuchus? It's gone. So that's Paula White. Paula White's making the rounds. She's making the rounds. She's been influence peddling. And her day will come. God is going to strike her down so hard. Her day is coming. But in the meantime, I want to talk about Jensen Franklin, Mr. Dopey, Mr. Dimwit, Mr. Nitwit, Mr. Halfwit, and his new sidekick, Jonathan Cain, because they're collaborating together for this new book called Acres of Diamonds, Acres of Diamonds. So now, of course, now I don't know what led to Jonathan Cain writing this theme song for this book. We can surmise that maybe Paula, pitched to Jensen Franklin, let my husband write the theme song. Let him write the song. You know, he's a rock and roll Hall of Famer. Let him write the song. But if you've ever watched Jonathan Cain lately, I don't know about in his heyday, but lately, because he just became 70 years old. Jonathan Cain is 70 years old. And so I don't know about in his heyday, when he was young, what he was able to do, but I saw him not too long ago on the Jim Baker Show, and Paula said, come over here, baby, and let's sing Don't Stop Believing. And let me tell you, the guy was singing, Jonathan Cain, the rock and roller, was singing, and he couldn't carry a tune. He's a horrible singer. Horrible. Horrible. Listen. I had to go find my earmuffs and put them on. Because I couldn't take listening to Jonathan Cain sing. Can't carry a note. The guy can't carry a note. Now, as to his songwriting, again, I don't know, you know, from the sampling that I got, because he just put together a Christmas album that bombed, brothers and sisters. Jonathan Cain put out a Christmas album, and he was touring with Paula. And he put out this Christmas album that bombed. Bombed. No, it just died. It went nowhere fast. And these were all songs written, all the lyrics, all the music was written by Jonathan Cain, and it bombed. It bombed. So as a Christian songwriter, he stinks. He stinks to high heaven. His songs are just plain stupid. And nobody wants them. That's the reality. So, listen, I don't know if it was Paula who said to Jensen Franklin, oh, let John write a song for your book. I don't know if it was Paula who forced her husband on Jensen Franklin, or if stupid Jensen was stupid enough to ask this guy to write the song for him. Who knows? Who knows how this deal came about? But I want to play this song that Jonathan Cain wrote. I want to play this. It's called, what is it called? Acres of Diamonds. That's it. Acres of Diamonds. All right. So I want to play the song for you because I want you to see that the song really stinks. It stinks. This is the song that they're using to promote Jensen Franklin's book. Okay? I want you to listen to this. Now, let me warn you. I'm going to give you a few minutes to get earmuffs or earplugs. You know, if you cut grass like I do and you're using a noisy lawnmower like I do, you have these earplugs, right? So that you don't you can muffle the sound. Okay. Go get your earplugs or your earmuffs in case you can't take it. Now, this song called Acres of Diamonds, which was written, the song is written, the music, the lyrics, all of it was written by Jonathan Cain, but it's not sung by Jonathan Cain. Listen, and I can tell you why it wasn't sung by Jonathan Cain. The guy stinks as a singer. He stinks, can't carry a tune. I am not a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and I can carry a better tune than Jonathan Cain. I've seen some dogs on YouTube carry a better tune. There's been some singing dogs on YouTube, and I've seen singing dogs on YouTube carry a better tune than Jonathan Cain. So obviously for this song, Jonathan Cain was not the preferred singer. It's some young lady. I don't know who she is. Now, she's got a nice voice, and piano playing is nice. I'm sure that Jonathan Cain is playing the piano, and the young lady's got a nice voice, but the song stinks. So you can have a nice voice. You can have a nice voice, and you can be an expert piano player. If the lyrics stink, they stink. And this song stinks. First of all, this song is too long. The song is 3 minutes 49 seconds. 3 minutes 49 seconds. Now, I've listened to this song, I kid you not, I've listened to this song 20 times. I tortured myself. I did it because I was doing research. And this will be the 21st time that I listen to this song. And I still don't know what the song is about. And I'm a pretty smart guy. I get things pretty quickly. Okay? So I'm going to play the entire song. I'm not going to interrupt. I'm going to play it. And maybe one of you out there can tell me what this song is about. Because like I said, I mean, I listened to it, I kid you not, 20, in fact, I asked a few of my friends, listen to this song and get back to me and tell me if you understand what the song is about. And none of them know what the song is about. I listened to it, what are they singing, Acres of Diamonds, what's that? What is that? It mentions God one time, twice. But what's the song about? That's why I asked you to listen to it. So maybe you can tell me what the song is about. So here's the song in its entirety. It's 3 minutes, 49 seconds. And if there's a musical Einstein out there who can tell me what the song is about, please call the show at 516-418-5978. Or maybe Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Mr. Jonathan Porn Cain, can call the broadcast at 516-418-5970, and maybe he can tell us what this song is about. Can somebody tell me what this song is about? Here it is.
Thank you.
piano playing is nice. The singing is nice. But I don't get it. Like I said, beautiful voice, beautiful piano playing, but I need a GPS. I don't know where we're going. I don't know what they're saying. I can hear words, but I'm completely clueless. And like I said, I'm a pretty smart guy. I'm 56 seconds into the song, and I don't know what. And I still have another 3 minutes of this to go, and I'm lost. 56 seconds into the, I'm lost. The only mention. God put them right there. God put acres of diamonds right there where you are. Well, I looked underneath my bed. There's no diamonds. I looked underneath my desk. I looked in the closet. I'm looking everywhere. There's no acres of diamonds. I don't know what are they talking about? What is this song about? When you look at this music video, it's called Acres of Diamonds, original song by Jonathan Cain. What they have is a picture of a circle, a loop, right? And they're playing the song, and I don't know what it means. I'm listening real hard. I'm rewinding it. I'm listening again. I don't know what the girl is saying. I don't know what the words mean. It's like I'm going in a loop here, a never-ending loop. And it makes no sense. And listen, we're halfway through the song. It's the same thing again. Let's listen to the remainder of the song. We're only in the middle.
Right where you are.
That's the whole song. We started with Acres of Diamonds. We ended with Acres of Diamonds, and I don't know where I've been. I mean, I guess they use this song to brainwash people. Is that what this is? Because it's just repeating the same thing. It's over and over again. 3 minutes, 49 seconds of gibberish. 3 minutes, 49 seconds. Can somebody call the broadcast, please? Is there somebody out there? Did you hear that? Did you make sense of it? Maybe I'm the stupid one. Maybe I'm clueless. Maybe I'm missing something. Listen, I don't mind being enlightened. I don't mind being educated. I don't mind someone teaching me. But I don't get this song. And I don't know what the song is about. And if this song is advertising a book, who knows what the book is about? I wouldn't use this song to advertise a book because people are going to say, if the song reflects the book, then the book is also nonsense. Now, let me play for you some music, let me give you some samples of music that has been used to advertise something, okay? Now, like I said, Jonathan Cain's dopey song, crappy song, because that's what it is. It's just doo-doo. It's just a doo-doo song. That's all it is. Here's a song that's only 1 minute, 6 seconds long. 1 minute. It's an iconic song. It's an iconic song. It's 1 minute, 6 seconds long, which means it's 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 40 seconds shorter, 2 minutes, 40 seconds shorter than Jonathan Cain's song. But this song lets me know what is being talked about is about. All right, here it is.
Just give me that countryside.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The chores.
Fresh air.
Minute, 6 seconds long, and I know what this show is about. I know what the show is about. I just listened to 3 minutes, 49 seconds, and I don't know what the book is about. 1 minute, 6 seconds. You heard the words. It had a little story. It had a wonderful jingle. The music was great. The singing was great. I mean, and 1 minute, I know. Now I'm tuning in to Green Acres. Now I want to see the show. Now I want to know what the show's about. See, that's how you write a song for something. All right, now here's another song. Because Jonathan Cain is a songwriter. He's a songwriter. Okay. This song, is only 1 minute 34 seconds long. 1 minute, 34 seconds. Okay, listen to this.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family.
See, come and hear my story about a man named Jed. See, every song is supposed to tell your story. This song tells you a story in 1 minute, 34 seconds. 1 minute, 34 seconds. Jonathan Cain was trying to tell me a story in 3 minutes and 49 seconds that I don't know what the heck he's talking about. It's a crappy song.
And listen to my story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. Said, California is the place you ought to be. So they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. The Beverly Hillbilly.
There you go. There you go. You got the whole story. You know what the whole show is about. That's songwriting. That's songwriting that makes sense. I don't know what this book, based on Jonathan Cain's 3-minute song, I don't know what the book is about. But I know what Beverly Hillbilly's about. It's about a man named Jed who went to hunting, was shooting a possum, struck gold, then moved to Beverly Hillbilly's. I watched the show. But based on Jonathan Cain's book or song, I'm not buying Jensen Franklin's book. In fact, I'm doing the opposite. If it's a stupid song, it's got to be an equally stupid book. That's the logic. All right, here's another song. Here's another song. Again. 1 minute. 1 minute. Here it is. Listen to this. Very short. Not 3 minutes. No, not. Listen, these theme songs to these programs were 1 minute long. These intro songs were 1 minute long, and they told you a whole story, and they got you hooked on the program. Jonathan Cain uses 3 minutes, 49 seconds, and like I said, I am so confused. I am so confused. Oh, what am I going to hear? I'm going to hear a tale. In how many minutes? 1 minute, 31 seconds. Not 3 minutes. I don't need 3 minutes and 49 seconds. They're going to tell me a tale, a story, in 1 minute, 31 seconds. Here it is again. I got the beginning of the book and the end of the book in 1 minute. Jonathan Cain uses 3 minutes and 49 seconds to take me nowhere. Here's another song. Listen, this is song. What I am presenting to you is actual songwriting. Here's another one.
You may have heard about glutathione. It's gotten lots of attention recently.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is the famous Mr. Red. Go right to the source and ask the horse. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a steady course. Talk to Mr. Red. People yakety-yak the street and waste your time of day. But Mr. Ed will never speak unless he has something to say. A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And this one will talk to his voice, his horse. You never heard of a talking horse? Well, listen to this.
I am Mr. Ed.
52 seconds. And you got the whole story. And here's my final one. My final one and my favorite one. My final song for today and my favorite one. This one tells a story also in 1 minute. Indeed, this indeed is classic songwriting. Not this gibberish that Paula White's husband put out. Not listen. Listen, I'm still lost. I'm still waiting for someone to call the program. Here's this song.
Come ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares, it is time to relax at the junction. Lots of curves, you bet, and even more when you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
There's a little hotel called the Shady Rest at the junction. It is run by Kate. Come and be her guest at the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
And that's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the junction. Petticoat Junction.
53 seconds. I got the whole story. I'm hooked on the show. I can't wait to watch. Can't wait. Can't wait. But then we have a Hall of Fame songwriter, a Rockin' Hall of Fame member. That's what the guy is. That's Paula White's husband. He's a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this is a song written by him, composed by him. This is a song. Here it is.
Bringing love.
Jesus, it's over. It's over. Oh, my goodness. Listen, if you want the members of the Taliban to spill all the secrets, just take this three-minute song, play it in a loop over there in Guantanamo Bay, and they'll start confessing all of their Taliban secrets. This is torture. 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 The song is horrible. Nice voice. Nice piano playing, but like his, you see, Jonathan Cain is falling into the same pattern as his ignoramus wife. His wife talks in circles. His wife can go on forever and ever and ever, and she can talk and talk and talk, and with all her talking, she said nothing. And that's this song. You go on and on, acres of diamonds, acres of diamonds, acres and diamonds. And when you finish the song, you say, what is this about? Jonathan Cain is just like his wife, Paula White. He sings in circles and goes nowhere. She preaches in circles and goes nowhere. This song is crap. This song is crapola. This song ought to be tossed in the garbage. I'm not one to give Jensen Franklin advice, but if you use this song to promote your book, you're not going to have book sales. This is crap. This is garbage. So much for being a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. So much. I could have written a better song. Now, Petticoat Junction, that's songwriting. Gilligan's Island, that's songwriting. Leave It to Beaver, that song, right? Listen, all of those songs, 1 minute intro, that songwriting. This is crapola. Crapola. All right, let's move on. Now, let's move on to Jensen Franklin. Let's leave Jonathan Cain alone. We know what he is. We know what he is, okay? He's always saying, I need to stay in my lane. Paula White's husband's always saying, I need to stay in my lane. That's right. Don't write Christian music. You stink. You stink. Your album stinks. Your Christmas album stinks. It bombed. Stop trying to write Christian music. You're lousy. You're lousy. Stick to rock and roll. Do us a favor and stick to rock and roll. Nobody cares about your Christian songs. Nobody cares about your new and upcoming album. It's all garbage. Your wife has filled your mind telling you that you're going to be a legend. You're going to be a legend. No, you're not going to be a legend. She's delusional. She's, listen, she's delusional, and she's making you delusional. Stop drinking your wife's Kool-Aid. And by the way, get yourself one of those real, get yourself a real mirror. Get yourself a, you need to have an eye exam, Mr. Jonathan Cain. Your wife is gruesome looking. All that plastic surgery she's done to herself. My goodness. My goodness. That woman has beaten herself up with an ugly stick. She's done it to herself. That's what Paula White has done. Now, I want to play this because Jensen Franklin reminds me of Deputy Dog. Remember the cartoon Deputy Dog? Okay, so there's a little cartoon called Deputy Dog, Little Red Full House, not Schoolhouse. It's not Little Red Schoolhouse, but Little Red F-O-O-L House, Full House, Little Red Full House. This is a Deputy Dog cartoon. It's 6 minutes long. It's very entertaining. And basically, Deputy Dog tries to play truant officer, but Deputy Dog himself needs to go to school. In other words, Jensen Franklin is trying to play preacher, but Jensen Franklin needs to go to school. Here's the little clip.
I believe we're going to catch some whoppers today, Muskie.
It's possible. It's possible.
Whoa there, boys.
Hello, oh, Sheriff.
Where are you going?
We're going catfishing, man.
Now, just a doggone minute. Why aren't you boys going to school?
We don't need to, Sheriff. We know all there is to know about catfishing.
Dang, limit! This is outrageous. Oh, bury me beneath a willow, beneath a weeping willow tree. Deputy Dog! Oh, hello, Sheriff. I'll be right with you, boy.
Well, make it snappy, will you?
Anything wrong, Sheriff?
Part of your job is to act as truant officer around here. And anybody that hasn't been through the eighth grade is supposed to be in school.
Eighth grade? No.
Now you get after Musty and Van Gopher and see that they go.
Smart thinking, Sheriff. You got an actual brain.
Shh. I'm getting a nibble there, Van.
You know what this is, boys?
I know you scared every catfish in the South away. That's what I know.
What happened?
This is a school bell. Every time it rings, you go to school, and I'm ringing it now.
School?
Yep. School. S-K-U-L. School.
Why, I do believe he means it, Vance.
I do too, Mikey.
Damn it! Come back here, you cotton-picking ignoramuses!
What happened?
Sorry, boys, but I'm the truant officer, and I've got to get you to school.
Now what happened?
You boys will thank me for this someday when you get smart brains like me. Here's two more pupils. Dagnabbit.
Old Deputy Dog will never see us in here, Vance. I can't even see you myself. I'm sitting on your foot there, Glenn, and I'm getting a bite. Help me pull, Vance. He's a whopper.
A-B-C-D-E-F-L-J. Here's those two new... Come back here, you ignorant varmints! Come back here!
Okay, Vance. Our coast is clear, boy.
There's more than one way to skin a catfish. Hey, what's going on out there? We know it's you out there, Deputy Dog. Let us out of here, boy.
Help! Help!
of your boys, but I've got to keep you in school here. Now, stay there and get some smartness. Well, now I can tell the sheriff my mission's accomplished there.
Oh, wait, the way he's got me glued here, I'll never get loose.
Me either, Muskie.
Hello, Sheriff. Oh, hello, Deputy Dog. I see that the boys are not at their favorite fishing hole. No, sorry, Sheriff. I've got them glued to their chairs in the schoolhouse.
Pull them in, Muskie. That's a whoppy boy. Yippee. Don't let him get away.
Hi there.
Uh-oh.
Come back here, you cotton picking hooky players. I've got their desks nailed to the floor in there, Sheriff. They won't get out again. By the way, Deputy Dog, how's your IQ? Just fine, Sheriff. How's yours? I mean, how much education have you had? I can read anything, as long as it isn't written. Mm-hmm. How far did you go through school, boy?
Well,
Hey, Muskie, how much is 2 and 2?
Let's see now, 2 and 2. I think it's around 7, Vince.
Boy, are you stupid! It's 3, Vince.
Oh, thanks, Deputy Dog.
Yeah. 2 plus 2, according to Deputy Dog, equals 3, and that's Jensen Franklin, a deputy preacher who doesn't know anything. Deputy preacher who should be in school learning the Bible. That's Jensen Franklin. Okay. So now, here's Jensen Franklin's sermon. It's called, Don't Sell the Farm. Now, let me tell you what I do with Jensen Franklin. Once a month, I go to Jensen Franklin's YouTube channel, and basically I do an eeny, meeny, miny, mo, right? I don't listen to him at all. I don't listen to Jensen Franklin. But once a month, I want to keep up with him. So I'll look at his YouTube channel, and I'll go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and I pick a video. I pick them at random. Okay, that's me. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Wherever my finger lands, I play that video. Okay, so this is a video called Don't Sell the Farm. And it's a series of videos that he put out there to help him sell this book, Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds, okay? Now, Deputy Preacher here, which is Jensen Franklin, the one who says 2 plus 2 equals 3, the one who spells school S-K-U-L, that's Jensen Franklin, Deputy Preacher here, I want you to listen to what he has to say about Jude 6. Turn with me, if you will, to Jude 6. Okay. It says, I'm going to read to you from the Bible. He says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, have he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So in this small epistle that is one chapter, Jude is writing about false teachers. And in section 5, verse 5, all the way through verse 7, in verse 5 he gives us an example of how God judges. In verse 6, he gives us an example of how God judges. In verse 7, he gives us an example as to how God judges. This is Jude writing a book on how God will judge false teachers. He describes false teachers. It's a wonderful epistle, wonderful. So now here in verse 6, which is the only verse in which Jude talks about fallen angels. It's the only verse in the entire chapter. Jensen Franklin says, no, not only does God talk about fallen angels here in verse 6, but he also talks about fallen angels also in verse number 13. 13 and 6 talk about fallen angels. All right, let's listen to Jensen Franklin. And he's wrong. Only verse 6 talks about fallen angels. Verse 13 talks about false prophets, false teachers. Has nothing to do with angels. But listen to deputy preacher here tell us. That's how stupid he is.
Chapter 1 in verse 13, it's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe punishment on the angels that did not keep their first estate. You remember the Bible teaches, I don't have time to proof text it, read your Bible for yourself. But
no, as a preacher, you need to proof text it. He says, I don't have time to proof text it. Well, why not? It'll only take you 3 seconds since you're already in the Epistle of Jude. If you're already focused on verse 13, it'll only take you 2 seconds to read verse 6. But he won't do it because he's stupid. Here it is again.
Jude chapter 1 in verse 13, it's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe punishment on the angels that did not.
No, in verse 13, God is not pronouncing severe judgment on the angels that sin. God is not pronouncing judgment. He is describing, he is giving us a profile of what false prophets and false teachers look like. Verse 13 has nothing to do with angels that sinned. Again, listen to him. And this was an eeny, meeny, miny, mo sermon. In other words, I wasn't saying, well, I'm going to use this sermon because this is the one that has the... No, all of his sermons are full of stupidity, every single one of them. And 7 minutes into this one, you get a big whopper. Big error here. Major error.
In Jude chapter 1 in verse 13, it's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe punishment on the angels that did not keep their first estate. You remember?
No, let's read that. Let's read it starting at verse 11. Woe unto them, he's speaking about false prophets and false teachers. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and will perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These men are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up out of the roots. These men are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. They are wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He's not talking about angels. He's talking about false prophets and false teachers. Yet Jensen Franklin, the moron, the deputy preacher, who always gets the equation wrong, who always gets the spelling wrong, who always gets the interpretation wrong, who always gets the exegeting wrong. This moron tells us the verse 13 is about angels. No, it's not. Go to school. Take a class. Buy a book. Read. Here it is again.
Looking for just a little easy church, you probably aren't going to be real happy here. But if you want to get be more like Jesus, you've got to buy in. You got to say, yeah, I've got some addictions, I've got some problems, we got issues, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm buying in, I'm not selling out just because it's tough right now. In Jude chapter 1 in verse 13, it's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe punishment on the angels that did not keep their first estate. You remember the Bible teaches, I don't have time to proof text it, read your Bible for yourself, but the Bible.
That's a clue right there that he doesn't know what he's talking about. See, he said proof text it yourself. Why? Listen, he's quoting verse 13, all he's got to do, he doesn't have to flip any pages. It's right there on the other side. Verse 6 is on the other side. Verse 6 is on the left side of the Bible page, and verse 13 is on the right side. On the, listen, right there, they're split right in half. When he says, I don't have any time, again, that's just another red flag.
13. It's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe punishment on the angels that did not keep their first estate. You remember the Bible teaches, I don't have time to proof text it, read your Bible for yourself, but the Bible teaches that Lucifer was in heaven and one third of the angels followed him, and there is a severe punishment that is pronounced in the book of Jude. It only has one chapter, and one of those verses, verse 13, has a severe punishment for those angels that did not stay around the throne where they were supposed to be, but they exited with Lucifer. And he says this, he says that he has reserved them in darkness in a place in their own shame because they were wandering stars. What a wandering stars. He called the angels that kept not that position that they were created to be in wandering stars.
What a moron. What a moron. And I'm telling you, listen, all I do is eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And wherever my finger lands and I play the audio, sure enough, major error. And this is part of his book, Acres of Diamonds. Hey, can you imagine reading this in his book? Again, let's read verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved, what has God done? He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They're not wandering, they're incarcerated. These angels are not wandering. To leave their first estate meant that they rebelled against God. But you see, in the Greek, in verse 13, to be wandering means you're continuing to wander. You are free to wander. You have not been arrested yet. You're still out there roaming. See? So in verse 6, the angels were arrested. They have been incarcerated. They are in chains, reserved. They're not going anywhere. They're imprisoned, reserved for the judgment of the great day. However, in verse number 13, Jude is talking about present-day false prophets and teachers who are like the raging waves of the sea foaming out their own chain, who are wandering stars. They're still out there. They have free access. Paula White has free access. Paula White's been wandering everywhere. She's been going to Miami. She's been going to Africa. Paula White wanders wherever she wants to go, leading people astray. Jensen Franklin, not too long ago, was wandering over in Brazil. Jensen Franklin's a false teacher. He was not too long ago in Brazil, wandering down there, leading people astray down there with his dopey gospel. You have all these wandering stars, human beings, false prophets and false teachers. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? One day they shall be arrested, but they're not arrested yet. See? So Jensen Franklin takes verse 13, and it's all verse 13 because it mentions darkness. Since verse 13 says darkness forever, and then verse 6 talks about darkness. It must be one and the same. No. In verse 5, Israel is judged. In verse 6, the angels that sin are judged. In verse 7, Sodom and Gomorrah are judged. In verse 13, it talks about the future judgment. It's a warning. Verse 13 is a warning. It says what God did to Israel in verse 5 and what God did to the angels in verse 6 and what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 7, God will do to the false prophets and false teachers in verse 13. But Deputy Preacher, that's his new name, Deputy Preacher who needs to go to school. And by the way, Saints, if you want the free books on Jensen Franklin, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I'll show you what a dunce he is. I'll show you what an ignoramus he is. I'll show you what a retard he is when you get the trilogy that I wrote on Jensen Franklin. This guy just can't help to mess things up. And here he is again for the last time.
In Jude chapter 1 in verse 13, it's an amazing verse. God is pronouncing judgment, severe punishment on the angels that did not keep their first estate. You remember the Bible teaches, I don't have time to proof text it, read your Bible for yourself, but the Bible teaches that Lucifer was in heaven and one third of the angels followed him, and there is a severe punishment that is pronounced in the book of Jude. It only has one chapter, and one of those verses, verse 13, has a severe punishment for those angels that did not stay around the throne where they were supposed to be, but they exited with Lucifer. And he says this, he says that he has reserved them in darkness in a place in their own shame because they were wandering stars. What a wandering stars. He called the angels that kept not that position that they were created to be in wandering stars.
My brothers and sisters, that's what the members of the Free Chapel churches hear every single week. Every single week they hear a baloney. So listen, when Jensen Franklin opens his mouth to preach, which he does every single week Jensen Franklin opens his mouth to preach, this is what his people hear. This is what they hear every single Sunday. I would rather hear Balaam's ass speak. Because Balaam's ass spoke truth. This jackass over there in Gainesville, Georgia, constantly speaks error. So to conclude, Jonathan Cain's song is crappy. And Jensen Franklin's book is crappy. Stay away from them both. God bless you. I'll be back soon. In Jesus' name, take care, saints.